constancy, follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Hallelujah. Well, today I have a title for our teaching, which we're going to talk about today, and that is Faith Has Its Own Experience as an Overcomer. Faith has its own experience as an overcomer. And as you know, we're very much again going over the Overcoming Deeper Life teaching. And today we're going to base our teaching on something very familiar in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, but there is something in this verse that I think sometimes we actually overlook, because it's all about the emphasis of the cross being crucified with Christ, and indeed that is the focal point of it. But there is also something that comes out of this also. I'm going to disconnect the microphone. Tell me if this makes a difference to the sound. Can you hear me better now? I've disconnected the mic. Oh, gosh. Yes, okay. It was that was causing the problem. All right, we've got good sound. I think everybody's happy now. Okay, our teaching today is Faith Has Its Own Experience as an Overcomer. That's what we're going to discuss and look at today. And I want us to turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, of which says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is what I want to hone in on today with regard to this faith teaching. It's the last part of that verse, and gave himself for me. We so often overlook those last few words, but the deeper life teaching is an experience of Christ who gives himself to us, not only as Saviour and Redeemer, but also personally himself as the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This again brings us back to our relationship that we have with Almighty God. And the only way that we will have this relationship with the Father is if we are experiencing the giving of himself to us in that personal way. And this is absolutely paramount if we're to experience being an overcomer. Let's remind ourselves of our teaching today. Faith has its own experience as an overcomer. You see, the cross causes us to experience this giving of himself. So we're not excluding the context of what is in that scripture. But if you are crucified with Christ, if you are daily taking up your cross and following the Lord Jesus as a disciple, then what is given to you as a result of that is, as it says in the latter part of the scripture, he gives himself to you, to me. That is the experience that comes by daily taking up your cross, that death to the self-life. That is what he gives to us, an experience of himself to us, which is what the world is crying out for. But sadly, it looks to idols, it looks to the world for that answer. But for the overcomer, the Christian who is born again, who has that new nature within them, that is the ultimate goal and walk of this life, that I receive by faith that experience of himself that he gives to me. That is the goal of the deeper life. That is why we explain to you that it is an open door through the baptism of the Spirit that we can go through, and we can go as deep and as far as we want in the Spirit. But the ultimate goal and aim of that is that we experience Christ, who's given himself to us, to each one of us personally as well as corporately. Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't that something to attain for and overcome in this life, that we might experience himself, who willingly, freely has given himself to each one of us? That is how the bride in this last day makes herself ready, through that experience, as she receives of him, and of course you giving yourself to him as well. This is what relationship is about. This is the mystery that the Apostle Paul was speaking about to the church at Ephesus, with Christ as head over his church. You see, most of our experience is us giving or surrendering ourselves to him. And so often we are so consumed about myself, giving myself to him, surrendering myself, giving up that self-life or that selfish life, all of which is very important. We don't exclude any of that. But my friends, if that is all the deeper life is to you, then it's going to make you very narrow-minded. It's going to make you very inward-looking, and it will also cause the fact that you'll never really feel you're achieving and overcoming, unless you see what is given as a result of that surrendering, that denial of the self-life, which is the giving of himself to you. Then it puts everything into perspective. It balances even the crucified life and teaching. The crucified life and teaching can become quite legalistic, can become quite religious and inward-looking, unless we see what comes as a result of the death life that brings about the resurrection. And the resurrection is the revelation, the experience, the understanding of him giving himself to me. That is what it's all about. Otherwise, you will never understand the cross. Jesus himself would never have gone to the cross unless he saw beyond it that he was going back to his Father, that unity and oneness that he had. We only have to read John 17, his priestly prayer. We shall be looking at some of that in a minute to see his goal, his vision. Yes, Jesus had a vision, because we're told that without it, we perish, or we get lost, in other words. So he too, in his flesh, in this life, he had a vision and a call, the same as each one of you as well. And so it's as we surrender, we give up the self-life, that in return we receive him. the experience of Jesus alive, living today, now, in my life, in my fellowship, in my walk, with my communion, with my brothers, my sisters. It's all alive. It's alive today, now. It's an experience. Yesterday is gone. It's history. We live today, now, for Jesus, because he has given himself to us. That is why relationships are so wonderful, because there's a spontaneity about them. There's something that's real and alive about them. As we speak, we communicate. We are living in the ever now experience with one another. Well, how much more with Almighty God, where there is no time? Remember that time, seasons, dates, weeks, months is created and given to us. But in the realm of the Spirit, there is no time. It's the ever-present now. And we get a slight glimpse of that experience with our relationship with each other. The spontaneity of it. The same with this meeting. What is coming out now is alive, living this moment. Well, how much more with God, Jesus, who gives himself to us, who is not limited or bound to time, and yet he meets us in our time, in our moment, because he created it. You see, brothers and sisters, we have got to break out of our little world of our self-experiences, my own knowledge, my own preconceived ideas. All of that, yes, has a place. But we need to break out of those things. We need to be experiencing, as we have just said, that he gave himself for me. He has given himself to me. And that is to be experienced. That is an experience right now, this moment. And when we begin to understand that, that takes us beyond even ourselves and our experiences and all the things that, yes, make us up as a human being. But there is something he's presenting and offering that takes us out of our human experience, out of ourselves, out of our limitation. Out of our limitation in our mind and thinking, and yes, even the limitation that we have with the Word of God, for he is the Word of God given to us, alive, living now, this moment. That is what the deeper life is about. It's totally being abandoned upon him and him alone. The giving of himself. I have abandoned my life on that living experience. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. This is the experience of where we are in commune with our Heavenly Father. We do only that which is revealed, because he has given himself to me. It's not about my efforts. It's not about how much scripture I know. And all of that has a place. Don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit has come to give him to us. This is why you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because he's representing Jesus to us. Living, alive, breathing. This moment with him. This is why it's so easy to quench the Holy Spirit. This is why when we come together, brothers and sisters, in a meeting, we make ourselves available and open, because he has given himself to me. And what he has given to me, which is of himself, I can share that in the meetings and in with this dying world, because he's so big, he's so great, he's so omnipotent. Omniscient, all power. That is what he's given of himself to me. And that is so great and so big that it pours out Those rivers of living water touching other people's lives as well. This is why you have been born again, recreated anew to be a blessing in this world of darkness. But you never will be if it's all about yourself and your own experiences and your own walk with God. If that is all your salvation is about, you have missed. You are not experiencing Himself given to me. Because it's far, far bigger than that. When you receive Him, you receive His kingdom as well, which He will one day soon establish upon the earth. That is what you are experiencing. That is what is a part of Him, is His kingdom, His ministry. Everything that He is yours as well. That is what He has given of Himself to you, to each one of us, and to the body of Christ. All that you read about Him in the Word of God is yours and more. This is why we make so much about the promises of God. This is why we make so much about when we read, because when we read the scriptures, when we read these promises, that's Himself given to you. Why do we doubt it? Let's read things to remind us if we're not sure. Let's turn to scriptures we know so well, John 14. John chapter 14. Verses 12 to 14. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We can only understand that, brothers and sisters, when we have received Him. When we have received the living Christ given to us as a gift. It's more than just salvation. It's more than just turning around, being separated from this world. Not falling into sin anymore. It's more than even that. It is actually receiving Him as a gift, giving of Himself to you and me. That is why He consecrated Himself to the disciples and washed their feet. Because He was showing them something. He was showing that He will come back. He will come back through the Holy Spirit. I will offer and give myself back to you, living, alive, real, today, this moment. That is the life that we live and draw from. It's not about just your experiences. It's not about just your life, your blessings, your trials, or whatever it is we're going through. All of that has a place. But it's far, far bigger than that. And if we do not see what the deeper life is offering and presenting, then we have failed its revelation and understanding. This is why a lot of people only know about the deeper life just as a theory or just as a subject. But the title is telling us today, faith has its own experience as an overcomer. This is to be experienced, brothers and sisters, and your experience is the offering of Himself to you and to me. Otherwise, we have failed. We have not understood this. I'm not talking about not being saved. That's not the question here. The question is here, receiving these hundredfolds in this life. Receiving these rewards that are divinely given to us in glory. It's overcoming all things in this life. And this is the key to it. The cross gives us that blessing of receiving himself to each of us. There's no shortcuts to this. The cross is the means of that experience of himself given to each of us. And so when we see here, like in verses 12 to 14, that I say to you, he who believes in me, there we are, that's the faith to believe in all of this. We've got to release faith now this moment as we hear this word, so that it becomes our experience, because it's always faith that is the key in receiving. Without faith, you cannot receive, you cannot believe, you cannot experience. So he says this, those who believe, the works that I do, you will do also, and you will do greater works than these. So the one whom we have received, the one who gives himself to us, also not only gives himself to us in relationship, in communion, in oneness, but he also gives himself because he wants to continue his work that he started on the earth through you and me and his church. So it's not about what I can achieve. It's not about how many I prayed for or have been healed or whatever it is. It's about the one who has given himself to me, who continues to do his ministry, his work, which he wants to finish. And he's going to do it now through you and me. And this makes us completely different in thinking, in mind, in attitude, in prayer, in everything. It puts the whole thing in perspective, the deeper life and the greater works which are to come and will come. We should be doing the works now that he was doing. Never alone the greater works. This is what the deeper life is all about. And he says that whatever you ask in my name, that will I will do, because the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you can confidently ask, because he's given himself to you and me. Now the giving of himself comes with revelation and understanding of who the Son of God is, who Jesus is. It's a revelation of my oneness with him that can't be separated. So he not only gives himself to us, but he comes as revelation. He comes as experience. He comes as the ever-present now, this moment. It's not something out in the future or will be for tomorrow. It's for all those who believe now can experience and enter into this. Hallelujah. What does verse 26 say? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Here we are. The Holy Spirit is the one who always glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings him to you and to me in experience, in revelation, in understanding, in knowledge and wisdom and so on. That is his ministry. Let's turn also to chapter 15. Where it speaks about the true vine here in John. John 15, let's look at verses 13 to 15. Verses 13 to 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command, that you love one another." There is exactly what I'm trying to express and say to you. There's the experience. I don't call you servants anymore. I don't treat you as babes who only just have the milk of the word, and of course that is absolutely essential. I am dealing with you on the level as sons, daughters of God. I want you to understand I have given myself to you freely as a gift. The one who lives and is alive and lives forevermore. That is what I've given myself to you. This is what he said. So in other words, it's not wrong theologically to say he has given me his love. He has given me his eternal life. He has given me his power that raised him from the dead, that raises also me. He has given me his gifts to heal, deliver, to raise the dead. Miracles, everything that he is, I am also, because I am one with him. He has given himself to me. Why do we doubt it, brothers and sisters? What is wrong with us when we have been given this by the Holy Spirit, all of us who are baptized in the Spirit, which we are? How could we doubt this? Because we're still dependent on self. We still look to our own strength, our own intelligence, our own experiences. And God is saying they are not enough. You can only depend upon the one who has freely given himself to you and I. He is the one that we now draw that life from. It's nothing about you or I anymore. That is the wonder of the new life, the new birth. That is why Jesus demonstrated to the disciples and the world that I do nothing unless it is revealed by my Father. The works that they saw, the miracles that they saw, was drawn by his Father. It didn't lie in him. And it doesn't lie in you or I. And your experiences, your past experiences of God, your testimonies, your knowledge of the Word of God, which all has a place, but it is not enough. It can only be from the life that is freely given to you and I, which we have read in Galatians 2:20. That is the only thing that will usher and bring the greater works of this last day, before judgment finally falls. We are bombarded with ministries, denominations, where it's all man, what he has achieved, what he has done for God. I have built an empire for God. And this is why most of them will not stand in the last days, but they will fall, just like Jesus said to the Pharisees. This temple that you see will fall within 3 days. Of course, they didn't understand it, but history repeats itself, because we're told there's nothing new under the sun. Man's sinning, man's pride, there's nothing new to it, even in Jesus' day. But it will all fall. But those who have received him and who draw their life, everything from him, will be the ones who will stand in these last days. That is why we have the Holy Spirit, who has come to us, bringing Jesus himself, the experience of him. And this is why Jesus has been given authority over all flesh, for this very purpose. Let's turn now to John 17, And verse 2, John 17, verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, couple that back with Galatians 2:20, that he gives himself to us, that we are one with him. This is why he then says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, because we have sinned, because the flesh is dying, there needs to be a power from God to preserve us from the flesh. Because if we're in the flesh, we're in the first Adam. To be in the spirit, we need to be in the second Adam, who is Jesus. But there needs to be a working, there needs to be something done that can deliver man from the flesh. For he will always go back to the flesh and wallow in the flesh. So the only way we overcome that is we receive him. He gives himself to us for the purpose also so that we can overcome the things of the flesh. And we do that, of course, by taking up our cross daily and following him. And Jesus was praying it there. Now let's couple that with John chapter 6. Just turn to John 6, verses 37 to 39. John 6, 37 to 39. All that the Father gives me will come to me. The one who's come to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there, we know that very well, and we've read it many, many times. But what he's basically saying here is what the Apostle Paul brings out, I give myself to you. Here I am. Take me. I am your offering. I'm freely given to you. I present myself to you. Here I am. Because when we receive of him, we receive everything that the Father invested and gave to him is also ours as well. And when you begin to see this, then you can start to read Jesus' priestly prayer in John 17 in a completely different light and understanding. He even gives his word himself to us, which he says in verse 8 of John 17. Verse 8, John 17, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me. So the very revelation that Jesus receiving from the Father with regard to your salvation, my salvation, the church, he has given to us so that we can understand this. This is the giving of himself. The giving of himself is the revelation and understanding of the Word of God. And that is the only way you will ever really understand the Word of God, when you have experienced the giving of himself to you as that gift. Because he is the Word of God. You can't separate any any of this. What does it say in verse 11? Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. So he's asking that we be kept in this world until we're caught up, till we're taken into glory. So he has prayed in the giving of himself that we will be kept undefiled, because he's not defiled. He has overcome. There's no sin in him. So we have received. He has come. He has given himself to us. Look what you are receiving in taking on of him, that gift, that power to overcome in this life all things, because we have received the overcomer. Overcoming isn't dependent on you, your strength, your ability, your knowledge, your understanding. Your overcoming in this life can only come as you receive of him, take him. He's offering himself, the overcomer, to each of us, so that we likewise can be that overcomer. This is why the gospel is such good news, brothers and sisters. It's not about your achievement. It's not about your works. It's not about how good you are or how much you're trying. It's about you receiving that offering that he freely gives of himself to you and to I. Freely you receive, freely give, as the scriptures tell us. And that's how we present the gospel. And then we shall start to see people being saved and coming in. This is what it's all about. Let's look at verses 13 to 14 of John 17. What does he say here? But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So he comes to you as joy. He doesn't come to you as a happy, clappy person. Oh, I want to be happy in this world. That's not how he comes. He comes with a joy, with a peace, with a blessing. It's not just about being happy. Happy is very insular. It's very surface. It's a worldly statement. That's what the world wants. The world wants to be happy. Happiness ministers to me, makes me feel good. It's what I like. That's not how he comes to us. Not at all. He comes with a joy unspeakable. A joy that is fulfilled, everlasting. A peace that the world cannot give. Completely different. That's how he comes to us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he says, through his offering, the giving him of himself, I give myself, who is the living word. But I've got something to say to you. When you receive that, myself, when you receive me, the world will hate you, because the world does not like the word of God. And sadly, we've even got professing believers who call themselves Christians who also hate it as well. That is the tragedy. You say to me, how do I know? You've only got to look at this room. You've only got to see the amount of people that come in but don't stay, because they don't savour, they don't love the word of God. They probably want to come in, a lot of them, just to debate and argue. But those that stay, that is a clear sign they are called from eternity. They are being called into the unity and oneness of the Spirit. You see, our lives tell us exactly where we are. Our lives show us whether we're called from the foundation of the world or not. I'm not talking about our trials, or yes, we may miss the mark, and sadly we do. But it's a staying with it. That's what it's all about. What does it say in verse 23? I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as I have loved you. The world is only going to know, brothers and sisters, the world is only going to know through your testimony, your ministry, when you have experienced the receiving of him, the giving of himself to me. This changes everything. This is what brings us into that rest of faith, where I no longer have to try. I have to try to witness. I have to try and lay hands on the sick that they may recover. I have to try and share the good news of the kingdom. If that is still your experience, you have not yet received him in the light that he wants us to receive him. That is, as an overcomer. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. So in the giving of himself to us, in Galatians 2:20, we are also experiencing where he is, what he is. This is why we can confidently say that I am seated with him in heavenly places, high above every power, principality and dominion and so on. I'm above all of that. The enemy is under my feet. I have received the one who has overcome him. And that too now is my experience. I am that they may behold my glory, which you gave me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So we have received of his glory that was given to him. That too is also our experience with our unity and oneness with him. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. So the giving of himself to me means that I too now know you. Not something that's out in the future, but now, this moment, if your heart is open to receive him by faith in that way that he's revealing himself, I too know him. I didn't know him like I know him now. That is the experience as an overcomer of our faith. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So likewise, your ministry now is I declare the Father. I declare Jesus. I reveal him. I reveal that love to this dying world. It's not about how you can do it, how you can achieve it. If he is in you, you have received him in that way. The power that is behind that, the power that is behind this priestly prayer, will be emulated through your everyday life. You don't have to strive and work at it. The cross is doing its work. As we decrease, he increases. And it takes away all the works. It takes away all the bondage. It takes away all the fear, all the condemnation, all these things that we've been so bound by. That is the good news of this, brothers and sisters. We have to experience faith's inexhaustible riches. So what does faith then say? He will present us faultless That is its goal. He will present us, he will present me pure. He will present me perfect. He will present me righteous. He will present me justified. He has become our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding. And it's all on the basis of simply yielding over to this. Not my trying to achieve this. Because then we've already failed. Why am I emphasizing so much of this morning? Because all of this is so that none of us boast in ourselves in any way or form, that we have given up our lives unto the Lord. In many ways, we've not really given up anything really in this life. That's what's so sad about all of this. And yet this is ultimately what it is. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, he says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." You are on earth the wisdom of God to this dying world. And to some you savour life, eternity, and to others, death. That, unfortunately, is the reality. You can be life to some and death to others. But that is what it is. You are God's wisdom on this earth. And those who are eternally called from the foundation of the world will respond to that. They will see that. They will not be just seeing you. They will be seeing the one who is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that can convince, that can save, that can heal, that can turn a sinner right around and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who lives in power and might and wisdom in and through each one of us. It's not about us. Lives will be drawn, souls will be saved by the power of the risen Christ that lives in each one of us. That is why we yield over to the Spirit and let him deal with the self-life, so that the life of Christ lives and dwells in each one of us. That's what the deeper life is all about. It's not about my life anymore. It's not even about my testimonies. It's not about how much I know, or how long I've been walking with the Lord, or what trials I've gone through. Yes, that all has a place. All it's about is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is the only reason and purpose I live and walk now in this life, is for that and that alone. If you have anything else that you add to that, you're not yet an overcomer. Because that is the key to this, brothers and sisters. And you see, we realize we've really given up nothing in this life for what we have received, what the receiving of him. We've given up nothing. We're saved from hell and total destruction. That's what we have received. That's what we have been freed from. Our faith is placed totally now in him and him alone. Not some denomination, not some leader, not in even a prayer meeting or Sunday schools or whatever meetings, not even our own meetings, as important as they are. Our faith is placed totally in him and him alone first. If you're depending on Full Gospel Assembly to help make it into the kingdom of God, you have failed to see the deeper life teaching. It's bigger than that. Our faith has to build on him and him alone, because we receive of him. And in closing, I just remind ourselves again in Galatians 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And what we have been majoring on today, gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Who are we talking about? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, who walked this earth, who changed everything, who dealt with the powers of darkness, who dealt with Satan at Calvary, the one going back into glory, the one who created the heavens and the earth, created you. He has said, I'm offering, I'm giving myself to you personally. Because that is what is about this. The revelation of this teaching today is himself personally to each one of us listening to this. Yes, it can include corporately, but this is the personal risen Christ himself to you. Which now means that himself lives and has his being and his way in each one of us. That is why we no longer confess the negative. We confess against the one who's given himself to us. I can't do this. I can't overcome that. I don't have the ability. What are we doing to him when we say these things? Have we really received of him? Do we want him? Because if we have, and we are, then these things change in our lives. And he has given the wherewithal and the power in which to do it. We've already read it in his priestly prayer. He has given us authority and power even over the flesh, as he had as well. Don't ask yourself, I don't know how I'm going to live this after this teaching. I don't know how this is going to be achieved in my life. I've got so much in my life. I've got still so much baggage. It's not about even any of that. It's about receiving, believing him who gives himself to us. Do you have the faith to believe for that today, now, this moment? Only you know that before the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you that you first loved us. Thank you that you gave yourself for me, for each one of us. Lord, this puts everything in perspective. It deals with anything that is wrong in our thinking, in our lives. And it clearly reveals that my salvation has nothing to do about me. It is all about the glory of God. Thank you, Father, that you have restored each one of us back to eternal life. You now see us, Lord, entire, complete, having not sinned, having not fallen short, fulfilling the commandment of God. That is how you see us, Lord. Father, we can't work it out. There are just things at times just go way, way, way beyond our thinking and mind and everything. But Lord, that is why you have baptized us in the Holy Spirit. And that's why even if we don't understand it, it still can be experienced. Somehow, Lord, we've got this idea, unless I know it theologically, unless I understand the word, I can't experience it. But Lord, you're even greater than that. because the living word lives in us in his fullness and entirety. Father, my prayer is that every my brothers and sisters and all those that have listened to this word today, that it may too be their experience. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, again, I believe so often when we come together and we have the word taught to us, there's nothing we can say, only that we are so mightily blessed. What have we done to deserve this? Well, we'll never understand that. But we have received him, that free gift. Everything that he is now becomes us. Every experience, even his walk on the earth, is even our experience. And even his eternity is even our experience. There's nothing left out. There's nothing separated. He has shared his oneness with us that he has with his heavenly Father that is in the Godhead. Let's now begin to walk in that. Let it be our experience. Praise God.
All lies down before you and cradled in